Bobby before service that I hadn't had a chance to do this in 4 months. He said, somebody go get some McDonald's. We might need some nourishment before the night's up. So everybody right now, just practice this right here. Okay. Guys, it's good to be home. There ain't no place like home. Still trying to decide what the Lord's doing with us out there in Nevada. I've got a project going on. Got some work going on. Had an opportunity to visit some churches that's been on my heart. A lot of things going on, but I still have that looming question, what's the Lord trying to do with me? First of all, let's take our Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. Trying to decide what the Lord has for our life. Have all these questions, you know, in Sunday school, if you guys remember several months ago, we spoke about praying for opportunities and open doors. And then after that, for a few weeks, I finally realized that if you're going to pray for open doors, you need to be willing to walk out of that door that you've had so much comfort in hiding behind for all your life and be able to go out and see what God has for you to do. And sometimes those are very, very hard decisions. I told Brother Revis that I'm super proud of my church. And I know we're not supposed to use that pride word, but I know we're not supposed to. I would say I'm super in love with what my church family has done over the past 4 months. I'm saddened that I was right. I had to get out of the way for a lot of other people to step up and do their thing. But I love what my church family has done and how you've supported our young people and how you've supported these ministries and how you've supported our pastor. I am super in love with what my church family has done. As you go to Colossians chapter 1, let's look at let's start in verse 15. If you would, please stand for the reading of God's word. I promise you that this part will be short. I'm not going to promise you the rest. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him we are all things created, that were in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Please bow for prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to share your word. I want to thank you, Father, for allowing me to be back home for this time. I pray for each and every one that's here tonight. And I pray, Father, if someone here doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that tonight will be the night, that today is the day of salvation. And they would understand just how badly they need you in their life. Father, I thank you for what you've done for me, what you've done to me. I thank you for always being there. Please help me to remember the things that I've studied, to say everything that needs to be said here tonight, Father, and nothing that doesn't. I'll thank you and praise you and love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to share some notes with you because I know that this portion of Colossians talks about, let's read the notes. This is one of the strongest statements about the divine nature of Christ found anywhere in the Bible. Jesus is not only equal to God, he is God. He not only reflects God, he reveals God to us. He came from heaven, not from the dust of the ground. We need to remember that. He came from heaven, not from the dust of the ground like you and I did. He deserves that reverence. He's not your dude. He's not your pal. He's not the big guy upstairs. He deserves that reverence. He is from heaven. He is the God-man. The rest of this world seems to have forgotten what God is or who God is. You see so many people out there thinking, well, you know, this is going to be a good time. God is still God, and he's the God that was, he's the God that is, and he's the God that ever will be. He's not going to change just because it hurts mine and your feelings. He is God. He is Lord of all. He is completely holy in his authority to judge the world. Therefore, he is supreme over all creation, including the spirit world. We, like the Colossian believers, must believe that Jesus is God or our Christian faith is hollow and meaningless. We must oppose those who say that Jesus was merely a prophet or a good teacher. Do you believe they still teach that? We must oppose that. That rhetoric has no place. He is not just a good teacher. He is not just a prophet. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. No matter who's in the White House, no matter who's in power on any other place on this planet, he is the King of Kings. Look at verse 16 one more time. For by him we're all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Because the false teachers believed that the physical world was evil, they thought that God himself could not have created it. If Christ were God, they reasoned, he would be in charge only of the spiritual world. But Paul explains that both the spiritual and the physical worlds are created by and are under the authority of Christ himself. He has no equal. He has no rival. Well, you know, John 1:3 says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And we just talked about these notes, and I know we're talking about the spiritual world, but we're also talking about the physical world. You know, Miss Tammy and I just took the trip out there about 4 months ago to the left coast, the west coast, the desert, the high desert out there. And I've had to make several trips in between this little town that I'm living in and Las Vegas. A lot of people say Las Vegas is the gateway to hell. I'm not exactly convinced of that. Now, their traffic may be, but the city itself, you can get anything in Knoxville you can get in Las Vegas. I'll just tell you that right now. Anything here, you can get out there. It's up to us what we decide to participate in. But the traffic, traffic's a different story out there. But I've made several trips over the hump to Pahrump. That's what they call it. Red Rock Canyon, Blue Diamond, all those areas out there that we see on the National Park Registry. I've made that trip 100 times. And it amazes me that people can see that and think that there's not a God. Brother Jerome and Brother George, we went up on the mountain several years ago on the four-wheelers and the razors. We was up at the place called Top of the World Trail. And just looking out over two states, just looking out over La Follette, just looking out over the mountains, and to believe that people can actually go up into these mountains and think that there's not a God. But you go out there and the landscape's completely different. You can be going up 160 and you look over to the left and you see a little bit of grass, not much grass, they don't have much grass, a little bit of grass and some rolling hills. Just on the other side of the road is a very jagged, rocky structure. And it's like God said, I'm going to put this here, and I'm going to put this here. And guess what? This rocky structure, all the lines are horizontal. But you go up the road 3 miles, all the lines are vertical. Looks like he just pushed them right up out of the earth. God said, I'm going to put what I want, where I want, and how I want, and it's absolutely amazing. But people go blindly by that every single day. They think, well, that was just an earthquake. Well, who caused the earthquake? Oh, that was just volcanic activity. Who caused the volcanoes? Who was the creator? Who created all of this beauty for us to see? And while I dearly miss the mountains of East Tennessee, the sunsets and the sunrises and the structures and the desert, it's absolutely amazing to be able to see that. And God created it all. He created it all, and we may enjoy it, but it was all created by him and for him. And for that fact, I think he needs praise. I think he needs praise. So this sermon is called to praise. Let's go to Psalms chapter 100, if you would. And Brother Revis, when you said Psalms 34, I was just like, I knew I was on the right track, but I'm like, did he do that again? Between you and Brother Brad in Sunday school, every time I got somewhere, you guys were there, which is good. Psalms 100, say amen when you got there. Amen. Psalms 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. You know, when I got out there in Nevada, I had this one little church on my heart, and it was Indian Springs Baptist Church, and it was exactly what I thought it would be when I got there. Great people, good service. The weekend I was there, it's only about 60 miles away from where I'm staying, though. Indian Springs, they have a bulletin just like we do. They preach out of the same Bible that we do, a little bit more contemporary, but great, great, great people. I went to South Valley Baptist Church. Good services there. I listened to Pastor Terry Stone. I got to, like I told Brother Bobby, I was listening to a lot of the pastors and the preachers from the West Coast Bible College out there. It's a little bit different listening to folks from the East Coast than it is listening from the West Coast. But all of them had pretty solid messages. Finally went to Brother England's church at Choice Hills Baptist Church. He's going to get me when I get back. At Choice Hills Baptist Church, King James, in Fundamental Independent Baptist Church. A lot of the same programs that we have. It's as close as home as I could find to be there. Good, good services. Good, good hymnal, music, songs, good people. They struggle in different areas of ministry just like we do. The number of great churches in America seems to be steadily declining. I went to several churches when I was out there before I settled in Choice Hills for services. I was actually ridiculed at a church out there because of the way I dress. I told Brother Revis at one time, you know, we got to remember as preachers, you got to get them in a boat before you can clean them. Just like fishing. The pastor got up there and he said, and I won't call out the name of the church or the pastor. He said, some of y'all in this congregation might be offended by a pastor up here wearing a Hawaiian t-shirt. I said, no, pastor, I'm not offended by you wearing a Hawaiian t-shirt. I'm offended by you wearing a Hawaiian t-shirt with an unbuttoned showing your wife beater. I think you should show a little bit more reverence to the God, the King of Kings, than that in front of your congregation. The number of good churches across America is declining. And by what I mean by good or great church, I'm not talking about money, I'm not talking about buildings, I'm not talking about programs or the size of the congregation. Instead, I'm talking about churches that serve the Lord and bring honor and glory to him. Now, if all you have is a tank top and flip-flops, please come to church. If that's all you have. But if that's what you've decided to wear, and you guys have heard me say this before, and I'm talking to you young people, if that's what you've decided to wear that day, God knows you've got a collared shirt hanging in the closet. And that's what you've decided to do today. We should be showing him honor and letting ourselves go. We should be letting him have all the reverence, because I don't matter anymore. God wants the best of us. And if that's the best you have, that's what he wants from you. It don't have to be a three-piece suit, diamond-plated anything. He wants the best of what's in your heart. And if we got our heart where it needs to be, we're going to portray the best of what we got. I believe there's at least three ingredients, and there's more, but there's three ingredients necessary in life of a church for it to be called great. A church that prays. A church that prays. Never underestimate the power of prayer. Miss Becky called me tonight and she said, while you're preaching up there tonight, please remember me. Please keep me in your prayers. I miss Miss Becky. I do. I miss these kids, these young men and women. I'm sorry. I miss you guys. Please pray for me, because I know the power of prayer. I know the power of prayer of a mama over a son and daughter. I've seen it firsthand what the power of prayer can do in a church family. Never underestimate the power of prayer. a church that preaches God's word. I've watched Brother Revis, and I still want to say, I've watched this young man. I've watched our pastor grow up. I've loved him his entire life. I've heard him preach God's word unapologetically. No matter how many times he stepped on my toes, I've heard him preach it, and he's going to continue to do so. Others out here will continue to do so. We need churches that preaches God's word, not what man wants to hear. I'm sorry if it offends you, but I'm not. We need God's word preached word for word, not what makes us feel good today. A church that praises. So tonight is a call to praise. I want to look at just four aspects, and I've still got 16 minutes. I'm watching the clock. Nobody get up there and turn it. Four aspects of how we are to praise the Lord. How we are to praise the Lord. Four aspects of this call to praise. Let's look at verse 1 again. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye and all ye lands. Singing, shouting, preaching, praying. I'm glad it says don't make a great noise, because I can't. You guys have heard me sing. I've tried to sing with the kids a few times. I don't know if it's going to be bass or what comes out. I don't know. It's not for me to sing. It says make a joyful noise. It's all about our attitudes. What is it? Life is 99% attitude, right? You go into work, you know you're going to have a terrible day. It's 99% attitude. Yes, it's 99% attitude till you walk through the gate. And then it is 99% attitude as soon as you walk through the gate. But make a joyful noise. Singing, shouting, preaching, praying. How many people shouted at the TV yesterday when Joe Milton unloaded that 75-yard bomb that the receiver didn't even know he caught the ball until he stood up and he had it in his hand? How many people yelled? I did. Yeah, right there. See? If you want the truth, out of the mouth of babes, right there. I did. We could praise God just like that. We could praise Him for all the great things He's done for us. Unapologetically, we could praise our Creator. Shouting, preaching, praying. How many of you has been around long enough to remember preacher climbing the pews? I remember that. Is this guy crazy or what? No, he's not crazy. He's moved. This is what God does to you. He lights a fire under you. He gets you moving. He gets you going. Like that Friday night football, he gets you going, right? Things that you love in your heart, things that excite you. We should be more excited about God. And I'm raising my hands. I'm guilty too. First time I yelled amen at a church out in Pahrump, Nevada, they looked at me like, where'd this guy come from? And this other church I went to, every time I'd say amen, lady with a tambourine turned around and looked at me like, are you really supposed to be here? We won't talk about that. If you want that story, we'll talk later. Had a great time. But we should praise. We should praise. Number two. Actually, part of number one. Let's look at verse two real quick. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. We should do this with a glad heart. Had that discussion with Miss Tammy earlier. I can remember a time in this church that I did things because I thought I had to. I didn't do them with a glad heart. I did them out of obligation. I did them because that's what we're supposed to do, right? I did them because that's what was expected. We should be able to praise Him with a glad heart. He loves you. He loves you. He loved you enough He created you. He knew you before you were. Number two now. Why we are to praise the Lord. Right now, because of who He is. Verse 3 again. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. We should praise Him because of who He is. Elohim, is that how you say that? Elohim. Strong one, supreme one, mighty one, Jehovah, self-existent one. I am the one who is. Can you think of any other definition of God other than I am? What is God? Who is God? I am. you are what? I am. You name it. You think it. You dream it. You see it. He is everything. And he should be everything to us. Adonai. Master, Lord. Verse 3 again. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. He is our creator. What's the first five words of the Bible? Any of the kids in here remember what we taught? First five words of the Bible. If you can remember the first five words of the Bible and believe the first five words of the Bible, you should be able to believe everything else that's in it, right? Is that not what fundamental Baptists are? We believe the Bible in its entirety? In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. Brother Jeff said something this morning about when God created you, he gave you everything you needed. That little baby, he gave that baby everything she needed to start a successful life. He gave her lungs, he gave her heart, he gave her everything that she needed. But in Genesis also, it also talks about he gave you everything you needed before you even were. In our Creator, he created the sun for warmth. He put grass on the ground before he made the cattle. He made the cattle of food before he made you. He gave us every... Sorry, I'm having trouble staying in here. Keep that up, Brother Jerry. Don't let me out. He gave you everything you needed. He planned for you. And he gave you everything you needed before you even were. You didn't have to struggle for food or light or air or water or anything before he put you here. He is our creator. He is our shepherd. Let's look at 3 again. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Did a sermon for our young people at Christmas a couple of years ago where we had our candy canes out. Remember? The candy canes look like a little shepherd staff. When I get too far out there, he grabs that staff and yanks you back in. All you have to do is reach out there and grab it. He offers it to you. That's just like your salvation. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you do to deserve it. Jesus paid a price he didn't know because I had a price that I couldn't pay. Remember that? All you have to do is reach out there and receive that free gift. He is our shepherd. Because of what he is. Let's look at verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth all generations. He is good, he is merciful, and he is truthful. He's been all these things to me, even when I did not deserve, especially when I did not deserve. He's all these things to me. I prayed earlier, thank you, Lord, for the things that you've done for me and the things that you've done to me. Just like that mama. She's going to chastise you for being wrong. It's like that daddy. He's going to discipline you for being wrong. Some of us probably should be disciplined more than others. But I'm there too. He loves you. And with love comes discipline. With discipline comes mercy. And if you don't know the definition of love, look at the grace and mercy that you've been extended in your life. Where we are to praise him. This is where you got my attention, Brother Revis. Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord in all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We should praise him everywhere. You know, I was wondering what was happening to me being out here on a federal job site and all of a sudden having to deal with Las Vegas Teamsters. I can say these names right now, so. They immediately stuck me with 7 Teamsters. I had no idea who they were, where they came from. They came from all different backgrounds. One special young man, he's a grown man. He's about 6'5", weighs about 360. He's a big man. He was raised Mormon. Love him to death. He spent last weekend a few hours, him and his daughter. He brought his 14-year-old daughter up to Pahrump, went to the rodeo there in Pahrump. We got to spend a few hours with him. He said, Brother Ronnie, I looked back on your Facebook and I seen some of your Sunday school and some of the preaching there from your church. And I said, well, what'd you think? He said, not bad. And then he walked off. But you know these 7 men? You know these 7 men? We have a plan of the day meeting every single morning. These 7 men, after the pod each and every morning, they'll say, Brother Ronnie, are you going to pray today? On job site, are you going to pray today? I mean, praise God. These seven men I've not met before, they know my history. Most of my history. They know my past. They know where I came from. No secrets whatsoever. I didn't try to reach out to them and say, hey, you need to do this. But one of them made me a little cross to go in our pod book each morning. He laminated it. And they said, hey, are you going to pray this morning or what? And every morning after 7 o'clock pod, they want to pray before they get their day started. Isn't that awesome? Ain't God good? Give me the opportunity to be a witness to somebody that might not ever hear it. The church in particular, let's look at verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. The church in particular, we should be praising him. The church here, we should be praising him. You're free to shout here. You're free to praise here. You're free to sing here. Third world countries, a lot of countries around the world, you're not free to do that. Sometimes when we read missionary letters, we can't tell where these people are from. You're not free to do that there. You know, we talked about before, the best thing about COVID was China. Missionaries in China were saying, hey, send us whole Bibles now. Send them all. Don't just send us pages. Don't just send us tracts. Said, facial recognition, they can't tell who we are anymore. They don't check our backpacks going into the provinces. Send us whole Bibles. God found a way to take that and use it for his glory. Number five. Well, before we go to number five, I still want to talk about God being the creator of all. He alone is worthy of being worshipped. This is where I get to the question that some people may or may not like. What is our attitude towards worship? Do we willingly and joyfully come into God's presence, or are we just going through the motions? Are we reluctantly going to church? You young people, have you been drugged to church or you want to bring yourself? You adults, is this something that just we've always done? I've been there. Just, you don't have to raise your hand, just think to yourself. I go to Sunday night church because that's something we've always done. Is that our attitude? It shouldn't be, but is that our attitude? Sometimes we find ourselves like that. There's other things we can do on Sunday nights. Praise God, there's this many people here on Sunday night. That's all him. We should remember God's goodness, God's dependability, God's love, mercy, and grace, and worship him with thanksgiving and praise. And number four, who are to praise the Lord? Let's look again at verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth all generations. That's who should be praising him, all generations. Philippians 2 talks about, and I'm paraphrasing here, talks every knee shall, there be a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every generation, all generations, past generations, future generations, that's who should be praising the Lord. Did you notice here, I didn't talk about any geographical location? East Coast, West Coast, black, white, brown, none of that matters. Jesus came here to save souls, not skin colors. And none of this is new. We've all heard it before. But this is what God laid on my heart to share. We should praise him. We should praise him during our failures. We should praise him during our successes. And I've had my share of both over the past 4 months. We should praise him during the good times. And praise him during the bad. He has a plan for you. I know he's got a plan for you. He put a breath in your body this morning. You're here tonight. You have the opportunity to share some tracks. You have all the tools that you need. All the groundwork has been laid. All you have to do is share. Well, I'm not the best speaker. You've heard me speak. I'm asking him how to pronounce these names. I'm not the best speaker either. God didn't say I had to be the best. He just said I had to be willing. Just like walking out of that door. It hurt my heart to walk out of that door. But God's got something. And it's not for me. It's for him. So we should praise him. So if the musicians would come, I got one last statement. And I'll be on time. Thank you very much. I'm watching that very closely. Brother Evis, I do appreciate the opportunity to share your pulpit with you. But I want to challenge you tonight, because we're not all made the same emotionally. We don't all praise the Lord in the same manner. Some will praise him with tears. You've seen that. Others with a smile, others with a laugh, some with a shout, some with a clap. We all praise just a little bit differently. The important thing is that we get busy and we praise the one and only that's worthy. Not a sports star, not an entertainer. What we're talking about here tonight is life and death. So if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. These altars are open. I'm going to ask Brother Revis to come and finish closing this thing out. But these altars are open. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior tonight, you can pray at these altars. You can pray in front of your camera, your phone, your computer, whatever you're listening to us on. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. He loves you. He deserves to be praised. If you don't have the feeling in your heart of what I'm talking about tonight, maybe we need to check ourselves and say, hey, I need to praise the one creator, the one true God out there. The one who created, the one who loved me enough to create me at any age. No shame in coming down here and praying. Go to him with all the issues. Get in God's word. Study what he has for you. You'll find every answer to every question in the pages of God's word. Thank you.
As they begin to sing for us, I want to ask you to stand to your feet tonight. Thank you, Brother Ronnie, so much for that.